one. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we are converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Well, hello, America, and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. Common sense, conservative values. We dish them up 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. You can find us live here on the radio, live on Rumble, live on Newsmax N2, the second 2 hours of the program. And you can also follow along the live video feed of this whole thing. Wendy Bell Radio Network app. We're just delighted to have you. We got to drop a few things on you today. We have a sordid soundbite menagerie, if you will, but I think we're going to point some fingers in the right direction and give you what is coming, and it's very clear to us, and it's going to be in a matter of minutes to you as well. So come on over to the kitchen table, pull up a chair, and welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. So we have been paying attention to what is going to be the next breaking news. This just in, be very afraid. Something is coming and you're not going to be able to manage it. And it's here. And we're going to talk about that in about 2 minutes. Because the story we should be talking about, that should be breaking all of the news, that should be making the headlines, that should be everywhere, is this: 100% cancer remission achieved in all patients of groundbreaking study. 100%. Now, playing the odds in life, the vast majority, I would say, of us have already been touched by cancer, whether ourselves or someone we love, or will certainly by the end of our lives. And it is very curious, if we're going to live in an honest, intellectually, let's just say curious world, that we are sicker today, more addicted today, heavier, less well today than probably ever in American history. Even with all of these medical advances, all of these great vaccines that you're told to get, we went from getting 2 or 3 shots when you and I were kids to now 72 before our kids are 18 years old. And we scratch our heads like, what's going on? You do not have to be anti-vax to have a brain in your head and to be like, what's happening? Why is there never a cure for anything? It's just more stuff. Well, in this study, and it's small, absolutely incredible. We have never seen this before, says the researcher in charge of this study. This is what we should be talking about. And I want to briefly tell you about this because you're not going to hear about it anywhere else. A recent study published in the New England Journal of Medicine has yielded groundbreaking results after a monoclonal antibody successfully eradicated rectal cancer in all enrolled patients, ushering them into complete remission without resorting to chemotherapy, radiation, or surgical interventions. That's pretty freaking phenomenal. 12 patients participated in this study, median age 54, 62% being women. These individuals had advanced rectal cancer, which typically requires pretty harsh treatments. 11 of the 12, I believe, had stage 3. One had stage 2. Every participant experienced complete clinical remission with no trace of tumors detected through MRI. Now, this story exists for you to read at the Epoch Times. This should be bigger than everything else that's going on right now. If we care about each other, if we're worried about wellness, is everything out there is always about living the best, healthiest life and doing everything you can. It's not. It's not. They don't want us healthy. They don't want us well. They don't want us cured. They need us going back for more. More drugs, more medication, more scans, more surgeries. That's why this whole transgender thing is a cash cow. Every single individual who goes through it, soup to nuts, it's more than $1 million. It's money, not wellness, not goodness. It's not science. So on the one hand, you've got this great big story. Having family members who have recently conquered rectal and colon cancer. This obviously strikes home to me. I want to tell you what the big story is other than this, because nobody's really talking about that. You guys hear about this. This is big. Be afraid. I'll get you the headline, dailymail.com. This could be 100 times worse than COVID. Bird flu warning from scientists who say half of infections with this H5N1 in people are fatal. As the White House says, it's monitoring the situation. I just want to, very slowly, we're going to walk through this, okay? This could be 100 times worse than COVID. Well, what did the Imperial College in London tell us during COVID at the very, very beginning of that? Oh my gosh, United States is going to lose 2.2 million people. You guys, do you believe anything you hear anymore? Because if you're not questioning every daggone headline, every time a politician is moving their lips, you're going to be on the odd end of this. This could be. That's not science. That's speculation. That's fear-mongering. There's a difference. Bird flu warning from scientists who say half of infections in people are fatal. Now, that's big. You're like, oh my gosh, 50% fatality rate? Now, do you care about that much if there are two people who are infected and one of them happens to die, whether it was because of this H5N1 whatever? No. Purposeful. So let's listen. Experts warn there is a higher risk of bird flu starting to spread between humans. Oh no. But some people are appealing for calm, saying there are still a lot of unknowns. Well, what the hell is it? You're gonna die! Well, we're not really sure about that. You could, but you might anyway. But you might because of this. We don't know, but you should take precautions. Right? So let's listen to this. A bird flu pandemic could be 100 times worse than COVID and kill up to half of everyone it infects. Experts have warned, experts, as the White House says it is, quote, monitoring the situation. Folks, if half of people could die, I'm hoping the White House is doing a hell of a lot more than monitoring it, right? What does that even mean? Speaking at a briefing, virus researchers said the H5N1 strain of bird flu may now be getting dangerously close to triggering a pandemic. Maybe. Again, may. I know. Brock sounds super scared in there. Calm down. I'm going to see if I can talk you off the ledge, Brock. Multiple cases of the infection in a variety of mammals, including cows, cats, and more recently humans, are all raising the risk of the virus mutating to become more transmissible, they said. But others, the but in the fourth paragraph tells you all you need to know. You're being played. But others attending the briefing said it was too early to panic. I don't know. I got one guy saying it's 100 times worse than COVID. This guy over here is like, half of the humans already are dead. And this person's like, I don't know. It might be a little early. What is it? A White House representative said today it was tracking bird flu in the U.S., adding, quote, a White House representative. It's not even somebody official. Some guy. It could be an intern going on in like a search for paper clips. And they're like, what do you think about this bird flu? Well, we take the health and safety of the American people seriously. That's what they said. That's your White House. We take the health of the American people seriously. We do. Wow, I feel so much better now. Then there's all these big graphs and scary stuff. The above shows how bird flu is edging closer to human spillover. They're cats, foxes, a striped skunk, raccoons. Holy cow. What's going on? Well, let's find out. The panel was quickly convened off the heels of news that a dairy farm worker in Texas tested positive for the virus alongside 12 herds of cows in 6 states and 3 cats. All right. Okay. Be very afraid, guys. Testing done on the worker showed the patient's virus had already mutated to spread more easily. How do they know? What did they do? They take out a super secret swab out of their back pocket and they're like, ooh, this looks like it's going to mutate very quickly. Although the CDC said this mutation has been recorded before, that the risk was low, and that there was no sign of human-to-human transmission. What is it? You and I have now circled around 17 times in literally 5 paragraphs in one sucky news article. Don't fall for it again, okay? Quick time out when we come back. Now that I got that off my chest. New Rasmussen poll, and I don't think Joe Biden's going to like it. How much it puts Donald Trump up? What? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So, be very afraid of this bird flu. You're not going to get any kind of specifics on it. It could kill you right now. We're not sure, but it looks terrible. You're going to die. Well, let's just take it easy over there. Right? It's like the Band-Aid study that just came out. What Band-Aids? Leaching some kind of chemicals into our body that's bad for... Like, literally. We might as well all just live with, you know, abandon, with no regard, because it seems like at every corner, somebody's trying to knock us off. And by the way, before I move forward into this Rasmussen poll, let me just say this. This is from Thomas Massey, tweeted out yesterday. Where have we seen this before? Right? The U.S. collaborates with China, to make bird flu more contagious and transmissible to mammals. Right? Bird flu now discovered in U.S. dairy cattle transmitted to at least one human being. Knock it off. Try harder not to suck. Really, it's all you've got to do. This is what they're doing. This is the back pocket play. You need to vote by mail. It's the only way they're going to cheat, my friends, besides the machines being connected to China. All right, let's get to Rasmussen. This was one of those moments, all right? New Rasmussen poll puts Trump up by 8. No. Really? Well, let's find out. Former President Donald Trump now has an 8-point lead over Joe Biden per the latest poll from Rasmussen. This is from Breitbart. Currently, Trump sits at 49%. Hunter's dad just at 41%. I love those little subtle in a 3-way race that includes independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who, by the way, do not go anywhere today. You've got to listen to the whole daggone show because we have a lugubriously stunning soundbite from RFK who dismantles a dazed and confused, like fish-eyed Chris Cuomo. It is delicious, and we'll deliver it in a minute. In a 3-way race that includes independent candidate RFK Jr., Trump still comes out on top by 6 points, 44% for Trump, 38% for Biden, and 10% for Kennedy. With the 2 third-party candidates added, Trump leads by a healthy 7 points. Trump 45, Biden 38, Kennedy 9, Colonel West 2, and Jill Stein 1. The internals, though, offer up the best news for Trump. So let's get into it. In a 2-way race, Biden earns just 48% of the black vote. You guys, they used to vote Democrat over 80%. 48% of the black vote seems to be with Biden. Trump sits at 39. 9 points. 9 points separating them. It should be closer to 80-20 in Joe's favor. Trump also beats Biden. Oh, Trump beats Biden among Hispanics. This is amazing. 48 to 37%. What? Among younger voters in the 18 to 39 age group, Biden is only up by one. One. Ladies and gentlemen, they are freaking out. They're freaking out. That's why you need to be worried about this bird flu, right? This is why you're going to hear stories of just outrageous abuse of the justice system against three women. You're going to talk about that today. Three women. One is the woman who found Ashley Biden's diary, which we were told didn't exist, right? Well, apparently it does, because the DOJ wants this woman who, quote unquote, found it, thrown in prison. Also going to tell you about an 89-year-old woman who's a Holocaust survivor, who they want to nab, and they have. She's one of those four Christian pro-life prayer keepers outside the abortion clinic who got picked up. How dare you pray? She faces 11 years in prison. Nothing like getting out. Maybe she'll get out with good behavior when she hits 95, right? And then, of course, there's the 71-year-old great-grandmother who was just convicted on all counts yesterday for praying for 10 minutes inside the United States Capitol. Okay? Just so you know, Trump leading or Biden leading 18 to 39-year-old voters by 1 point, 43 to 42. When you step back and you see how all of the planets are aligning in this solar system, doesn't it invigorate you? Aren't you curious about how they're going to try to spin stuff? Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's like walking in on your mom naked. You can't erase that, right? Everybody's like, blah, 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 right? I've said that to my kids before. They've walked in on me and they almost caught me. And I was like, look, I'm just telling you. Once you see that, it's burned into your retina, into the folds of your cerebral cortex forever. Be very careful. Same thing here. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Joe Biden earned only 44% of the black vote, 29% of the Hispanic vote when you put all five candidates together, and 37% of the 18 to 39-year-old vote. Donald Trump won 26% of the black vote, 48% of the Hispanic vote. That's 11% more, right? And 37% of the 18 to 39 vote. You guys, Biden's screwed. Rasmussen report surveyed 1,099 likely voters between March 31st and April 2nd. So this is just literally Friday into the early part of this week. Found no change from their poll in early March, which showed Trump with the same 8-point lead, 49 to 41%. So if we use that, and I like dropping at this point in this show every day to you to try to give you some kind of a basis poll wise that all of this stuff is being spitballed off of. They're freaking and they should freak. Now we're going to tell you on the flip side of this break, the voters who may well sink Joe Biden, and they all have RFK Jr. to thank for that. I'll explain next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Well, I love this headline. I think it's kind of catchy. I made it up, so I should like it. The voters who may sink Joe Biden. And it's not black voters and it's not college kids. It is Hispanics, ladies and gentlemen. This is very interesting. And I think this goes to the value of having third-party candidates. I do. I think the Democrats have woefully abused whatever confidence their base once put in them, which is why you're seeing this hemorrhaging. I don't know why anyone, particularly low income people, would see any benefit. These are the people who have been punished the most in Joe Biden's America. A lot of these individuals are non-white voters, and they're getting hosed every day. And it's obvious. RFK Jr. is like, I don't know, kind of a Pied Piper with them. And there's this buzz going apparently in the Hispanic community. This story I'm reading to you is from Politico, of all places. I actually like reading some of their articles. It's good to know what people whose views, which are completely opposed to yours, it's important to know what they're thinking. And this is kind of a cool story. Headline, how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could doom Joe Biden. The independent candidate looms as a serious drag on Biden's Latino support in Arizona and in Nevada, particularly. And I'm going to skip the first section of this, but I want to read to you this. To date, Kennedy is officially on the November ballot in just one state, Utah. But his campaign and an allied super PAC, American Values 2024, announced in the last month that they have collected more than enough signatures to make the ballot in the critical southwestern battlegrounds of Arizona and Nevada, where roughly one in five voters is Latino. Now, if we know anything even peripherally about Hispanic voters, they're very conservative people. These are, you don't see a whole lot of divorce in a predominantly Catholic community that is predicated on family, and it's on big families. If you've never had the pleasure of working anywhere with a large number of Hispanic employees, you've never seen hustle. I grew up in Southern California in the restaurant business. You've never seen people work like this. These people are predominantly conservative, valued individuals. And for some reason, RFK Jr. is really tapping into them. Joe Biden has lost them, which is interesting. Now, the signatures are still subject to challenge. This is the getting RFK on the ballot in Arizona and Nevada. But if Kennedy does appear, it could create dire complications for the Biden campaign. Latino Democrats are now taking the threat of Kennedy's campaign deadly seriously after national and state leaders were briefed on a previously unreported poll in mid-February by Democratic group Equis Research, which showed Kennedy performing surprisingly well among Latino voters in a dozen battleground states, effectively splintering Biden's Hispanic coalition from 2020 when he garnered 59% Hispanic support. Kennedy's popularity appears to be a function of name recognition and a general lack of enthusiasm for President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump, not to mention voters brushing their views onto the somewhat empty canvas of his candidacy. The poll of 2010, registered Latino voters found Kennedy winning one in five young Latino voters, and also reporting him capturing a sizable 17% Latino support in Arizona and even more robust 21% in Nevada. It's the highest number among the battleground states polled. The drag on Biden's Latino support was so great in the survey that Trump was winning among Hispanics overall in 12 battleground states, 41% to Biden's 34. These results were just echoed moments ago by Rasmussen. Now, if these numbers held in November, this is interesting, it would represent a seismic break in the Democratic coalition and a remaking of the electoral map, leading Democrats to likely lose Nevada and Arizona. And in the wake of Trump's 2020 gains with Hispanics from South Florida to the Rio Grande Valley and South Texas, even parts now of New Jersey and California, Democrats could still rest easy because the entire Southwest held. But if Nevada and Arizona fall to Trump as a result of erosion in the Latino vote, it could mean Biden is likely suffering similar losses across the country, and that like predicting an election loss. Kennedy is a golden name in Democratic politics, and any support he derives comes from almost totally at the expense of Biden. This is Obama's Hispanic pollster for both of his campaigns, told Politico magazine. Now, it's hard to overstate just how small Biden's margin for error is in either Arizona and Nevada. In 2020, when Biden became the first Democrat to turn Arizona blue since Bill Clinton did in 1996, he won the state, allegedly, by less than 11,000 votes. In neighboring Nevada, his cushion was 34,000 votes, just 2.4 percentage points. And the state has continued to move toward Republican since. The GOP knocked off Steve Sisolak in the midterms, the only incumbent Democratic governor to lose in 2022, and came within 8,000 votes of doing the same to Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, the first Latina senator. This is fascinating, you guys, because one would think with the revolving door of immigration at the southern border, with all of these people coming in and the race to get them counted in the census, hurry, go to Bethlehem, go to, right? This is crazy. This is crazy that they've not been paying attention to the Hispanic voters. They've been here. They are here. They are American citizens. They work. They show up. They support their families. They go to church. They just do. And they don't like what's going on at the border. This could be the greatest boomerang in modern political history, banking on influx of millions, but instead collapsing in a key base that has now turned you off because they have been slapped for the last time. Nationally, those close to the Biden campaign wave away Kennedy's possible impact. And they say they don't believe that the 70-year-old former environmental lawyer and son of former New York Democratic Senator Robert Kennedy will get more than 1% of the vote. I don't know, guys. RFK in many polls is polling in the double digits. That is enough to sink Joe Biden, even if he doesn't get more than 1% of the vote. That's still enough to alter the outcome. Using the 2020 vote totals, 1% would still triple Biden's winning margin 4 years ago. Think about that. If right now Rasmussen shows Kennedy with 9, 10% of the vote in their polling, and if he just received 1%, he would be three times what it would take to sink Joe Biden's 2020 results. Do you now know why we've got bird flu? Right? Do you now know why we have all of this war? Do you now know why they need the Green New Agenda to keep you guys busy, inconvenienced, spending more, chasing something elusive because the goalposts constantly change, because they're throwing pasta at the cabinet to see which one sticks? It's not going to stick. It is a big threat to them if Kennedy gets on the ballot in these two states. He would be pulling more from Biden. It is undeniable. Now, see, as this is going on, as Kennedy could very well be siphoning the election sustaining votes from Joe Biden months before the general election. Did you guys hear about the warfare? The DOJ, there is no justice anymore, friends. When the left, the uniparty, can use it against their political adversaries. How about this headline? Trump attorney John Eastman has now been disbarred. What did he do? Sniff some girls, take showers with his daughter. What did he do? get all sorts of money, millions of dollars from all these different foreign countries, 20 shell companies. What was it? No. John Eastman has been disbarred, my friends, because he made a grave, grave mistake. He questioned the election results of 2020. Away with your ability to practice law. What? Gateway Pundit. Headline. Trump lawyer John Eastman officially disbarred for challenging 2020 election. President Trump's lawyer John Eastman was officially disbarred this week after a judge ruled he should have his law license stripped for challenging the 2020 election. Eastman on Thursday. Guys, this is communist crap. This is not a constitutional republic. This is not democracy. This is warfare. Eastman Thursday asked a California judge to pause the disbarment ruling, citing massive legal fees. Trump 2020 election lawyer, blah, 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 faced disbarment in California for, quote, undermining democracy. What does that even mean? Undermining what democracy? They've already trampled it. When you can put people who weren't even in Washington, D.C. in prison for 18 or 20 years because of what they might do in the future. You want to say that an attorney who wanted to present proof of malfeasance and fraud, you want to take away his ability to earn a living and to punish him with crippling debt? That's the play, guys. Are you seeing it? When you've got nothing to run on and everybody knows it, and even the Hispanic voters are peeling off, what do you do? You fight back at the people who are screwing you. That's this. This is retaliation. Quick time out when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program. You know, this is fascinating. A study about kids and transgender stuff. And you know what it found? Breaking news. Puberty sucks. I know. Shocking. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. In Joe Biden's America, where Merrick Garland swears to us, there aren't two tiers of justice. There's not one for white people and one for black people. There's not one for Democrats and one for Republicans. Shut up. Yes, there is. And yes, there are. This guy, Eastman, was disbarred because he dared to ask questions of his government. A government which sucks. A government which lies. A government which cheats. A government which helps pay some bat lady in Wuhan to make a virus too sick on you. A government that wants you to be forced to take something that you don't want to take. That's your government. If you speak out about it, we'll come for you too. Brock and I had this conversation half of an hour ago. I almost expect a knock on my door at some point. And you know what? I understand how the January Sixers feel. I understand how they feel. They would not roll on Donald Trump. They would not accept plea deals for something they did not do. There is that moment in your soul where you have to determine, who are you? Who are you? Are you afraid? Are you willing to eat crow and admit to something that didn't happen and lie to save your own hide? Or are the values and the principles that are baked, burned, born into your DNA stronger than any of that? That you can take me, and you can lie about me, and you can malign me, and you can ridicule me, and you can beat me, and you can imprison me, and you will not break me. Because not only do I know who I am, I know who's on my side. And it's the Lord. Facts. I want to bounce over to this other ridiculous story. It's amazing. The Daily Mail, once again, knocking it out of the park. Exclusive, they say. Really? Right? Exclusive. Most gender-confused children grow out of it. Landmark 15-year study concludes. I know. You guys were amazed. Because you remember puberty, too. I had big teeth. Right? I had really freakishly long legs.
Don't forget your hair.
My hair was fabulous.
It was a mullet.
Shut up. I had a mullet. Right? Is anybody out there confused? You're like, what? Puberty sucks. You have people in medicine, leftists in medicine, in science, in research and development, in pharma, in media, in social media, big tech, all of these people who've sacrificed their own souls and consciences for a money-making scam of epic nature. And using our children as their pawns. We're going to prey on your malleable, insecure minds. We're going to play games with you. We're going to make you think that you are not worthy. Now, we're not going to tell you that everybody going through puberty feels that way. Throw in some ill-timed acne, right? Maybe some braces if you're lucky, knocking it out of the park. Everybody goes through it. Instead of saying that, instead of saying to children today in school, it's a phase. There are many phases of your life. You'll get through this phase and you'll look back on it and you will remember it. And if you're blessed with children of your own, you will be equipped to help them through it. Instead, the left gives us these lunatic objectives. The only solution is to pump our kids full of drugs, to welcome them to doctors who see dollar signs instead of healthy breasts, who are able to disconnect from pure evil. That's the story. It's not some 15-year study. Heck, if you give somebody 2 weeks, give them 2 weeks to get out of something that's broken their heart or that's keeping them up at night or that has them chewing their fingers or pulling out their hair or feeling sick inside. Give it 2 weeks. And then come back to me and let's talk about what's really bothering you. Now it should be, let's give it 2 weeks and give me your cell phone. Because you don't need to be seeing all of these images. You just need to have faith that you are one of a kind. That there is no one out there like you. And that the experiences that come your way are purposeful. And how you deal with them shapes the adult you are going to be. And from where I'm sitting, you're going to be extraordinary. Why don't they do that? Why don't they say that? I don't need a study to tell me that this trans thing is a money laundering brain suck. We see it. And my heart bleeds for all of the young people for whom there was no adult to take out of the fire. Quick time out. When we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends, let's talk about this. A desperate government, what does it do? It goes after the innocent to beat the piñata. How about a 71-year-old great-grandma facing a year in prison because she dared say a prayer inside the Capitol that day? My, buckle up next.